Okay. For those who haven't been to any of the other services, I have a question for you. What happened on June 2nd, 1953? Someone took a throne. Anybody? Queen Elizabeth took the throne of England. And today is the 60th anniversary. And if you were any part of the British Isles right now, everybody would be having this huge kind of party to celebrate what we often refer to as a mighty kingdom, or an example of what it means to have a kingdom here on earth. And it's fun sometimes to look at all the pomp and, you know, all the stuff that goes with the kingdom, and it's always a show of power and majesty and all those kinds of things. And so many times when we think of kingdoms, well, don't we sort of think a little bit like that chess game? The kingdoms all have to do with empires and power and oftentimes overpowering one another in order to find security. And how unfortunate that is as we come to the Lord's Prayer. Because oftentimes when we pray this familiar line, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Well, we just don't know what that really means. And we're like those kids. We think it has something to do with, well, heaven coming. But it's so, so much more. When I was in seminary, we used to talk about the kingdom coming as the reign of God. Martin Luther would often talk about it as when the word is proclaimed and when there's faith and Jesus is reigning in us. That's the kingdom. And it's here. And it's now. In this petition, we hear it echoed with the part that says, "Thy will be done." And so the question is, kingdom and thy will, what does God will in this world? Well, first of all, when Jesus told the story of the lost sheep, he said, "It is my will that no one would be lost." Absolutely no one would be lost. And so with that in mind, we hear from some people who lived the kingdom, who prayed, "Thy kingdom come." And for a week, they went out to be the hands and feet of Jesus so that no one would be lost. And so we're going to hear from some of the people who went, and how this shaped their faith walk. And then we're going to see an incredible video. So, who's up first? Okay, Linda. Okay. This is Linda Madsen.
Been to Tanzania with church people and 2 mission trips to Arizona to help the Navajo. But from the very beginning, I knew that this mission trip was going to be different. I did have second thoughts about going because my life was so busy before I went. But when it came close to time to go, everything fell into place and I knew I was supposed to go. I was really right that this mission trip was very different from the other mission trips in many different ways. One of my concerns that I heard was that about Haiti being safe. I felt very safe with the group, Worldwide Vision leaders, and the interpreters. We stayed in a gated village and a gated house. Yes, it's a very poor country. It's hard to imagine the way that most of the people live without seeing it with my own eyes. We saw tent cities on the way to the projects, and most of the houses were very small and built with brick. And the roads were very poor and rough. And there were some places that the standing water was there all the time. There was a lot of garbage along the streets. which bothered some of the team members. And I learned that before the earthquake, they did not have garbage pickup service, but now they do. And you did see this service in use and people sweeping, so they do, you know, it is improving. And the transportation was also very different. Many of the people traveled on a tata, which was a truck, and they had benches in the back, and they would sit on the back. And there was times that they were just packed. And I also saw some people riding donkeys and many people walking. Our team went to two different schools, and I learned that they do not have public schools like we do here. They're all private. And when it comes time for them to play for their schooling, they just go and sell a goat. And the school benches, desks are very different too. They have a big long top and the seats are attached, and they would sit like 5 to 8 children on each desk. And we had the privilege of making more desks when we were, that was one of our projects that we did there. And some of us, including me, got to serve the children their lunch of rice and beans one day. And that was really, really different too. They had a plate or else a plastic bag that we put their 2 scoops of lunch in. And if somebody didn't have a bag, we were told to put two servings on there, and they would share it. Another thing that I noticed that was really different, that I really noticed, not necessarily different, but people had very clean clothes. One day we saw how a woman was doing her wash by hand. She had one big bowl of soapy water and then two other cycles. And one thing that really surprised me that we have here, and I didn't expect there, was cell phones. But I was told that they're not very expensive, and that was their way of communication. They don't have post office. As we worked as a team on our projects, we had challenges come up, mostly because of our equipment that we had to use. But as always, we got through the challenges with God's help. One of the examples of our challenge was last day when we were working on the raised garden. We watched the big dump truck that was bringing the black dirt back into the wall. You'll see it on the video. It was really neat to see how the lady of that we were doing the garden for and her neighbors came together to move the dirt that didn't quite make it where it was supposed to be. And I had the honor of moving the dirt with the lady after she got a big bowl, and we just scooped it up and carried it in. The language barrier did not stop us from knowing what needed to be done. Another neat experience that I had, 2 different times to help children make tambourines. Most of the children don't know English, but we were able to show and or help them. I've done child care for almost 35 years, taught Sunday school, vacation Bible school, catechism, as well as soccer. So I've worked a lot with children. But the way the children in Haiti enjoy the simple things in life and were happy with what they had is very rewarding to me. As I said in the beginning, I thought that Haiti was going to be different, which it was. Not in a bad way. Yes, Haiti's a very poor country, but the people are not rushed and stressed like we are. They also appreciate when given used items like tools or shoes. Another thing that amazed me was seeing God bless and other statements on their vehicles that showed their faith in God. If you are thinking about going on a mission trip to Haiti, I strongly recommend it. That way you'll be able to experience Haiti, which is a different way of life, and cannot put it into words. You try, but there's things that you just can't say it because it's a feeling. It's in your heart. And that's all I got to say to you.
My name's Chrissy Peterson, and I was blessed to be a part of the Grace to Haiti 2013 mission team. After seeing the pictures and hearing the stories from the 2012 team, I felt the call to go to Haiti. I was faced with two pretty big obstacles prior to going on this trip. One would be trying to figure out how to pay for the trip, and a second would be figuring out who could take my kids for the week. A member of last year's team had reminded me that if it was in God's plans for me to go, then he would open up the door and make it happen. God showed up big time. He put some people in my life, and through some great donations from some gracious friends and complete strangers, the trip was paid for. And an amazing person from this church opened up her heart and her home and took my kids for the week. So I was pretty thankful for that. Our team had gathered on several occasions to plan and prepare for the trip. It was during these meetings that I had become aware and a bit concerned of a few things. One was that in a few short weeks, we would be stepping into a space of unknowns, the culture, the environment, the conditions, and so much more. Another was that the members of our team, we didn't know each other very well. We had only met a couple times, and we were going to travel off to a country with each other. The last thing was that I knew that no matter how much we were going to plan for this trip, we were going to have to be flexible and prepared for things not to go our way. For someone who needs to know the plan, have a schedule, and be in control, this was going to challenge me. In the weeks and days prior to the trip, I was incredibly nervous and anxious, and then came go time. On a Thursday morning, we gathered out here in the parking lot at 3 in the morning and loaded up on the bus and set off onto the airport. As we were flying in over Haiti, I suddenly became very calm and at peace. It was as if God had said, "It's all good. We're in this together. Just trust me." On our first work day, on Friday, we set off to the work sites in the village of Lizon. We had first arrived to a home where three women, a young boy, and an infant lived. This home was about 10 by 15 feet, made of cinder blocks, a tin roof, and several tarps. The roof had holes in it. The top half of two of the walls were gone. On the other walls that were somewhat standing, the cinder blocks were starting to fall into the house. It was very overwhelming to stand there and to look at this house that these people lived in. The work crew at this site consisted of Mike, Harold, myself, and a group of Haitian construction guys. I didn't know any of these people, and they certainly didn't know me. As we were tearing down the walls and the roof, I had an up-close and personal encounter with a tarantula. As it crawled up my arm, I jumped around and screamed dance, and not wanting to drop the cinder blocks. This dance was later dubbed the Haitian Shake. It was a nice icebreaker for our group. It turned out to be a great work experience. Throughout the week, we continued to work on the house, and the rest of the team worked on a garden. We had also traveled to the Luli and Williamson schools. While we were at the schools, we were able to serve the Feed My Starving Children rice, repair some swing sets, and play and play and play with the kids. As I said earlier, we had done our best to plan for the journey, yet had to be prepared for things not to go our way. Well, things didn't always go our way. We had several dégagé moments, moments like leaving some really important tools 2 hours back at the guest house, not having the right parts or tools to get the job done, but had to make do with what we had, watching the heat take its toll on different members of our group at different times, sending Pete out into the village with a translator trying to find somebody who could weld some parts together to make a bracket for the swing set, watching as the dump truck driver backed into and destroyed the garden wall. Through each of these dégagé moments, God showed up. He provided us with calm heads and the ability to become very creative and to accomplish the task at hand. By the way, did you know that a flip-flop can work really well as a swing set shim? We found that out. Each day as we drove to and from the different work sites, we were exposed to the reality of Haiti. We saw the animals, street markets, the poverty, the diesel fumes, unsanitary living conditions, the lack of clean water, and so much more. But we were also blessed to experience the beauty of Haiti, the gorgeous sunrise and sunsets, the blue ocean waters, flowers, and fruit trees, just to name a few things. Yet there were so many more beautiful things than that. The smiles on the children's faces as we played with them, held their hands, and handed out toys. The laughter and joy as they sang and jammed out on their paper plate tambourines. The smile on 9-year-old Destine Evans' face as I was able to give him his very first pair of tennis shoes. The tears of joy from the homeowners when they were presented with their Haitian Bibles on our last day on the work sites. random strangers who would stop by and offer to help shovel and sift dirt. And there was just so many amazing moments while we were interacting with the people down in Haiti. We were definitely able to see God moving within the lives and the hearts of the people in Haiti. There are many basic needs that the Haitians lack, but faith is not one of them. The journey to Haiti was humbling, eye-opening, heartwarming, and faith-filled. While on this journey, I was able to be myself. I was able to allow God to use me and to work through me. Our team came together, and there have been many new friendships formed since the trip. I'm blessed to have had the opportunity to work alongside many amazing people. Since arriving back from Haiti, I've come down with this horrible condition called Haiti fever. I'm thinking the only way to fix it is to go back. I do look forward to a continued relationship with Worldwide Village as well as the people in Haiti. Thank you.
My name is Tom Baker. Many of you know that I am the youth coordinator here, and I have the blessing of being able to go on a mission trip every summer with our youth. But to have this opportunity to go with adults was a blessing to me, and I want to thank Scott and Ann for inviting me to go as an adult, one, with other adults, and also that I didn't have to be in charge. I didn't have to be responsible for the group, and that was great. They did a wonderful job of organizing things and bringing things together and working with World Village to make our team come together and have a great time in Haiti. I just want to share with you one observation that I had that struck me when I was in Haiti. It had to do with walls. There are walls everywhere. There are walls around the communities. We were in a gated community. It was surrounded by a wall that was about 10 feet high. Along the top of the wall was barbed wire. When you went into the community, each house was surrounded by cinder block walls, too. Everything is cinder block because they've used up all their trees, so they build everything out of block, and there are walls. A lot of it has to do with a mistrust that they've had of their government in the past and the fear that they live in, and so they feel safe if they're able to build a fortress around themselves. And that's why they talk about being in gates. The gates let you in and out of the communities, but it also blocks you off from your neighbors and from the people around you. And so it was very disconcerting to me to see all these walls everywhere. It made me think about the walls that we have in our communities. We just put up, you know, nice little picket fences between our homes. But people used to know each other really well. You used to know your neighbors and used to spend time with them. But the walls that we have put up are part of our culture. It's our consumerism. It's our stuff that we have, the stuff that builds into us responsibility, and we have to take care of all these things that we have, whether it's our yards, our boats, our cabins. It all robs us of our time of spending time together. And for me, I think that knowing what the kingdom of God is being in relationship with God and being in relationship with everyone else, with the people. And that takes a commitment, and that takes time. And our time is robbed away from us because of these walls that we've built of our stuff. And it's part of our culture, and so we've become used to it. And we can even see what's on the other side of the walls because we have our internet connections, and we can see what's happening in the news every day. But we are separated from it. We're separated from the people. So going on a mission trip is a way for you to climb over the wall, to step out of our own little comfortable space and take a risk and go out into the world and meet these people face to face. That's the difference. You know, it's easy to go down to Feed My Starving Children and feel uncomfortable for a few minutes during the video and package the food and feel good about that. That's wonderful. But until you see the people that are actually receiving the food and hear about the fact that it rained today, so Those children will not get a meal because there is no school, and that's the only way they get food. Until you see that and understand that, then you can begin to see the difference between how they live and how we are called to live. I think about the story of the man that came to Jesus and he wanted to know how to get into heaven, how to be in relationship with God, and he said he had done everything right. He knew the law and he knew the commandments. And what else do I have to do, Jesus? And Jesus just looked at him and said, "You have many riches. All you have to do is give them away. And then you can come and follow me. You can come be in relationship with me." And he went away sad because he thought that was too high a price to give his things away. But that's what we're called to do. So if you see this video, which is amazing, and you hear these stories and you go, "That's wonderful, and I'm glad that they did that," but you feel, "Well, I could never do that," you don't have to go to Haiti, because there are needs here that you can meet. It just takes you being able to step out in faith and hop over the wall. The hard part about it for us, and you ask any of them, is the fact that it wasn't going to Haiti, but it's the coming back. It's the coming back and seeing what we have here and learning how to live with that. But we can give here. We can have the kingdom here in Andover. And so I encourage you, if you feel the tug, to go to Haiti. But if not, there are many ways that this church offers in ways that you can serve and love others as part of the kingdom. Thanks.